Good morning and happy Monday. It is a Value First Monday, July 28th, 2025. Here with another episode of Value First AI Daily, your collaborative AI intelligence report. How are we collaborating this week, Nico?
Gosh, it's just one of those like vibing kind of weeks. I know you love that term so much.
I do. I do.
Yeah, and there's a new we've talked about just going to jump right into it. We've talked about like zero cost development before, and we talked about what that looks like. And a couple months ago, it looked kind of expensive, if you want to call like $1,000 for building out an entire app expensive, right? Like, because let's just say like back and forth, a lot of back and forth, whatever, probably cost you about $1,000, a big headache, but you'd still come away with it with an app probably within a month. Now I can guarantee you, I can tell you, hand up, less than $200 for the same like level of application. So whatever it took you a grand to build in January probably costs you about $200 now. Not joking. And that's because the models are better. So you spent $1,000 in January because the model was just, pecking and trying to get at it and all that kind of stuff. Didn't have, web access back then either. And didn't, again, just larger model. So now way better model, right? Aces things right out of the hole. So the cost goes way down because you don't have to prompt as much to get the total output. And then, eventually you're gonna end up against the Titan, right? Like, what makes the Titan so crazy is the fact that it offers practically everything for free, right? And in this case, that Titan is Google. It's been around, obviously, for a long time. And so an announcement comes out over the weekend that somehow I missed, and but it landed in my inbox this morning. And the we were playing around with n8n yesterday, right? That's like, this is how crazy this is. We're messing around with n8n yesterday. We're like, oh yeah, got to get into this, and really should like pay for the monthly so that we can play around and do that kind of stuff and set up our own, agent networks and stuff. And then this happens. This is Opal from Google. And it's very much the same thing as n8n, except it's completely like AI driven. And it's already kind of like set up for you to be able to, so like your app is here and then you just edit your app pieces here. So it's like visual app building where you can see all the dots being connected, which if you've done any sort of vibe coding, you kind of know how like awesome this is as like, as another aspect of what it is that you're doing. What's really crazy about it is I've only played with it for a minute. I typed a sentence in just to see what it does. So I'm sorry, I don't have like anything sort of pre-built for today. But you can see that like they've already got plenty of examples for people to take a look at. And oddly enough, probably a third of them, you have Business Profiler, Learning with YouTube. I think there's another blog post writer, product research, social media posts, and video marketer. So like a third of the Opals already that are up there, or almost half, are marketing tools. Probably because marketing deals with content creation, so that's like 10,000% of what, these models are capable of doing, right? So
Oh
yeah.
man.
Yeah, I know.
I mean,
I know you're.
this is what I tell people. Like, I get it. Building apps is fun. Building products is fun. But like that opener of the $200, like that's like step almost table stakes at this point. Like, do you know how to give a couple sentences to the thing to build the thing? Guess what the hard part is? Getting it to market, like putting it in places where people will pay for it and understand what it is. Meanwhile, all I had to do was open up this URL and click sign in. And I can start using this new thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't.
And it's like, to me, even if you were, let's say like, even if you were like doing, gosh, I don't know, like you were trying to vibe code something and you're working with another app. I do this stuff all, like, honestly, I do this stuff all the time. I work with Replit all the time. Every once in a while, I look at Lovable to see if anything new is happening over there, but not really. It is what it is. Lovable, to me, is a very different thing. I wouldn't use Lovable to build the type of stuff I'm building on Replit. So, but using this, I can, again, like, I haven't gotten into, like, too deep into N8N. I already tried to yesterday. I got frustrated and was just like, maybe later. Me and GPT will take a look at this. But this is sort of like one of those ways in which you can take baby steps, right? To like, okay, this is how that works, and this is how these connectors go together, and that kind of thing. So that even if you're not necessarily building the exact same thing or working in the exact same way, at least you have a better understanding of how to use the more complex app without. Like out, you know, should say out of the gate. I didn't realize it's gonna, well, because it's probably using VO3 too. So I'm assuming that it took, I mean, we can look at the back end to see it afterwards, but I'm assuming it basically takes those first two aspects of what you give it, goes and does some research, then comes back, puts a prompt together, shoves that into VO3, and then out comes your video. That's at least what I would think. And that's kind of the crux of this, right, is like, why is this more useful per se than stuff that like we would otherwise show you, like, I don't know, like hints with GPT or like hints with Claude or whatever. These are, you know, it's value first, right? Value first above everything else.
Because they've created,
yeah, you don't want to hear the audio.
So much value already, right?
Like, right.
So they're able to just deliver. And by the way, all you businesses, you paid them. You paid them to create the value. It's called Google Ads. So thank you, I guess, for investing in this beautiful future. But I don't know how you compete. Like, if just the fact of needing to plug everything in, like to N8N, like to get it to start working.
Yeah. Yeah, and here, like, you're just natively using Gemini, like, out the gate, right?
Yeah.
It's the same as, like,
already connected to everything. Right. And it's already has plugins for just about everything else you can think of because it's Google. It can just, like, all right, we're going to start bringing some of that love back here.
This is cool to me. So like, if you like this, obviously it's like Replit where you can just remix it and create your own version of it. Or if you're in a GitHub, it's like forking a project or forking a repository rather. And this is like, so again, I'm going back to like why this over model tips. This is the next step. I was watching another video this morning, with a gentleman that was talking about like where he sees AI going by comparison to like what most people talk about, right? And what he said was actually like pretty like, oh, it was the Alibaba founder. What he said was really interesting. Made perfect sense, right? When we started using, like, let's say when we started traveling by foot, right? And so everything was a matter of like how you were going to travel by foot, even the paths and the roadways and all that kind of stuff. And then we had horses. And so pathways kind of changed because horses could take us different places that we couldn't necessarily go with our feet. and then we had cars. And now we changed everything because we could go places with cars, obviously, right? And then you have like off-road vehicles and all, you know, and then we have planes. You change the way in which you travel the entire world at that point, right? So that's kind of what this is, right? Like what you're looking at is the next step where it's like what you've been doing is sort of playing with a model and maybe putting a custom GPT together. And what's going to be happening next is you're going to be putting an entire, not like an entire application together that folds in your GPT, right? Like that's just part of what the overall is, right? So it's going to get to a point where you're going to have these inputs. You're going to build some type of app that has inputs like this. And I mean, you're going to define what the inputs are going to be anyway. And then you're going to be able to control like, okay, what's the information that it goes to get? Where does it go get it and all that kind of stuff? What are the prompts that go into that? You know, what does it do next after that? And what's the last step before, you know, putting it all together? And this is nuts to me, right? Like just the fact that like you don't really have to do a whole lot. Like, and you can change, obviously change up the model, right? We can do something where you're putting an image with it or whatever. So technically you could like use one of these to, you could probably do a email generator with this pretty easy. Yeah. So like in terms of NaN, you have to like pick the node and then it starts getting a little complex after that. Cause almost every node you put in, you got to have an API key for some third party service that you can plug it in. And it's all about like all this third party stuff. Just to go with, and
I'm going to show you what I built while you've been doing that.
I love this. I love this so much. This is what we were doing yesterday. It was like, well, one of us was talking, the other one was building stuff and just sort of back and forth. And that's, to me, it's like, that's how crazy it is. Right.
So click on the city games.
Yes, that is cool.
And then just entered Houston and sci-fi. So we just, whoops, not that one. let's go in here. So enter game location, specify the game genre. Again, it works just like every other tool. I immediately push shift and drag. Use search maps once to figure out the location, get weather details. Generate game concepts. You are a creative game designer. Let's just click into there, see what that prompt looks like. Talk about a prompt library. Like just...
Right.
Right?
Right.
Generate image prompts. Generate game images. Generate video instruction. Generate game video. Render web page. Game concept, a futuristic Houston perpetually drenched by a climate change intensified tropical disturbance, showcases submerged streets, overgrown high rises, and iconic landmarks like the Galleria, repurposed as arcologies, all while sci-fi mutated fauna roam amidst the oppressive humidity, relentless rain, and frequent and intense lightning storms. Key art. And then we got a trailer. In a couple minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And like the whole remixing idea, like just imagine this could have been like, I've been thinking like I'm just one guy. All right. So all I can do is share what my experience. I've been thinking about the concept of using AI to create games like for a while. Right. It started when I started using Perplexity instead of Google, like to look up things. Mm-hmm. And then I could just have a conversation. I was like, man, imagine if I created a project that was like all my different games that I like. And then I could start to create like from there and, you know, never turned it anything. Now it's just a couple clicks away to like not start from scratch. And that blank page syndrome that gets in the way is no longer an obstacle. Like that's what we mean when we say like the barrier to entry is approaching zero in almost all digital cases. Pretty much all digital cases at this point.
Yeah, like, very right? much all.
Even if I get excited about this, and now I can create this, and now I give it to a developer, and they use the next level of tools to do it much faster than I could, instead of me going into, you know, the Replits of the world or whatever. You know, I see Reddit posts all the time about these elaborate Claude code setups, and they figured everything out. I'm like, great, yeah, you do that. You figure everything out for that stuff. That's where it's like, I'm not gonna, the likelihood that I would take this game, right, to completion in a high quality way, it would take, I've never done anything close to that before, right? So even if you mm-hmm. give me all the right tools, and I'm gonna come back to that point, there's still value in engaging people who have done it before, who have this level of experience, who know what gaps are likely to show up and how to cross them really quickly. That said, like, if Google had purchased HubSpot already and there was a CRM here too, I'm paying $250 a month all day for it to be my entire business tech stack.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we're going. And that's where, like, as they build out this surface area of everything you need for your business, of course they're going to get that much money per month. Like, the challenge is, can you as a business transition into that? Because my mind immediately goes to, I'm in several Google Workspaces. This is included in the thing I'm already paying for at like $20 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And like, all this is experiment and beta, because I'm sure they're figuring out like how and when to raise prices.
Right.
But like, they can't, because that transition period of like the human beings and organizations deciding to stop paying for all the different apps, and there's a ton of change management.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Less change management when you can just click log in, right, to the new thing.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where, like, imagine a world where it's just like, you've synced everything with HubSpot, let's say, into your Google, and all your Google contacts are matching your CRM. And then, like, tomorrow you get like the crm.google.com. like URL, and it just clicks, there's just a login or sign in button. And then all of a sudden you get all this cool stuff like next to your CRM. I mean, like, oh man.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm thinking of, naturally, doing something that's like a multi-marketer. Multi-asset marketer. So yeah. I'm going to have something that basically generates blog image, video. I don't know if you can do video in like different format.
But the concept of the micro app, of the mini app, is cool.
That's, you know, and that's something that Amjad talked about. That's something that Dharmesh has talked about. A lot of the people that are like into app building and app creation, it really is. It's turning into this world where like you own your own idea from start to finish. You own like the way in which it works. And it's all personalized to you. You know, yesterday I was talking about, you know, my wife is wanting to start a business for people with Alzheimer's and dementia. That's, you know, care, basically like brain care packages that help them with their memory. And, you know, her mom is different from other sufferers in the way that she, you know, learns with these things. And a lot of the packages are a certain way or whatever. And so she's got an idea, and she went to go find what she was looking for. And it just doesn't exist, right? Not in the way in which she needs it, right? So maybe, whatever, it's kind of like a meal kit where like one of the meals is what you like, but the rest of them are like, eh, not really. but that one, if they had more of that. So, you know, she's like, yeah, I don't know what to do. And I'm like, well, just start making them and then you can sell them on Etsy and stuff. And she's like, really? I'm like, yeah, why not? Other people are going to need it too. I'm sure other people are looking for the exact same thing that you're looking for. There's definitely more than one person out there. There's a market for it. Let's go find out. Let's go use Perplexity and Gemini. Let's go find out where that market is. Let's go investigate it, take a look at it, do the research. You know, by the end of the day, got a brand put together, right? That's the new world. The new world is, if you're somebody that's got a side hustle, this has to be just dumb attractive to you, right? Like, I don't know how it's not, because it's, to me, it's like, this is the ultimate side hustle. I can't think of another way in which you could start up your own business in weeks time, right? Like, I don't want to say effortlessly, but it just takes having a great idea. And like, doing research now is a joke, right? Chris and I are going to be doing a workshop soon. It's going to be all about deep research, and it's going to be about how you can use deep research with your organization in order to find, like, what I like to do, call it, is like, find the gold that's in your CRM that's already in there. And you just didn't know it was there because you just couldn't turn over enough rocks or not turn over the right ones or whatever the case may be. And we're going to show people how you can use deep research, not only to find the gold in your CRM, but then how to actually leverage it, how to hone it into a perfect, you know, marketing tool that it should be. And then how to discover what the next few years of your business is going to be like. You can do all of that with one tool, right? Just one capability of what these models have to offer. So I'm sure, you know, we were already talking about like, oh, we'll see what we've got like next week with an 8N. I want to, you know, I'm going to be playing with this, all night. And yeah, it's probably going to be something where, probably Thursday, I'll show, sort of like a multi-asset marketing tool. And that'll be fun to play with, because, you know, the time period in which, and if you guys have seen OpenAI Agents yet, or if you haven't seen that, that's another version of like what we're talking about, right? Where it's just different. It's not like the way in which you work now is different. The way in which you use computers is different, I would say. Let me see. Oh, you know what? I had a really great example from not too long ago. Let's see. And to me, it's really more about...
You want me to add this?
What's up?
To the screen?
Let me grab a new... Yeah, go ahead. What's interesting is that, like, there's no model choice for Agent. It's just its own thing, basically. And then you can add the sources that you want it to look at. So I'm actually going to be doing this later, because I just looked at that this morning. I was like, oh, cool. So I actually can have something go and take a look at my code base and give me some, you know, give me some hints and stuff like that. So there's all these suggestions, and they're, to me, they're like one-stop suggestions, right? But here is something that you definitely could do. You could say, hey, GPT, can you go check out the latest 7 days of AI news? Come back with the top 25 stories. Curate them.
Remember when these things didn't have access to the web?
Mm-hmm. That was what, like a year and a half ago or something like that is when they first started getting it, right?
Oh, man.
And create a web page. Create a nice looking.
Yeah, is that, do you think, is that an often assumption that you come across? People think it has real-time access all the time?
Yes. Yeah. most people think that it has real-time access, but a lot of those users are like first-time users or like really like early adopters, basically. Like early adopters definitely think that it's real-time access always. Anytime I get a story where somebody's like, it wasn't good at this, or it lied at this, or used it for this and it gave the wrong answer, like inevitably I know right out the gate, like you used it wrong. It's not even, I don't even have to, like, I don't have to anything. I know out the gate, A, either you used it wrong, or B, you're a free user and you didn't use a high-end model, so you got a wrong answer because you asked like a super high-end question to a lower-end model and it fudged it, right?
I'd say that's why
the
agent doesn't let you pick which model. It's probably using whichever ones. I think they mentioned that in the stream, right? It's probably making choices of which model to use as it does different things, because it combines deep research stuff. I mean, that's just functionality, but I imagine the capability is there to
actually,
like, go talk to my PhD level dude for a certain thing. But for other things, maybe we don't need a bunch of overthinking research stuff. We just need some quick answers. So we go to our news guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That was another thing. I wanted to, I don't even know if I might still have it. No, I don't remember what the link for it was, but so I had wanted to I'd wanted to basically create my own curated AI story service, basically. And, you know, not that there's not enough of them out there, there's plenty, but when I want to know like the latest stuff, right, it's difficult to figure out what the latest stuff is, really. And it's easier for a model to go and do that research for me and to go figure it out and pull me the most accurate stories and do the comparisons. And then to come back and give me the story exactly the way I want to consume it, to give me the summary first, give me some bullets of important things I need to know, and then have those be hyperlinked so that I can go read individually what the important pieces are and whether I want to actually know them. And it puts in a percentage there that tells me like how much each thing is related to another thing. So in other words, like if I choose to read one section of the story, it might be actually 70% related to another aspect of the story, which means I should go read that as well, right? And it's all AI powered, all powered by Gemini, all done in Gemini, right? I didn't have to do anything. I just asked it to code this app for me, and boom, there's this app, right? I wish we could show the end result of this, but agents do, it does take a minute. But the output is amazing, and hands down, like, I'll post this on LinkedIn afterwards, because it will. It'll make a full-on website that you guys will be able to go and check out check out the stories.
That's a new world, folks. Hope you're enjoying it. We're going to help you take steps into it every day here at Value First AI Daily. Happy Monday, everybody, and we'll see you tomorrow, Nico.
Have a good one, Chris.